Assalamu alaikum. Today is Al-Quds Day, a day when we protest the occupation of Palestine. I'm not here to talk about human rights, morality, or what we perceive to be right or wrong. I wanted to talk about something much more concrete, economy. Today, the Palestinian economy is a very polarized economy. In the West Bank, we have a relatively booming economy. I say relatively because by global standards, it's not. The IMF has said that from 2008 to 2010, the West Bank grew at a rate of about 7%. This was enabled mainly because of economic management and reforms allowed by donor aid and the easing of Israeli restrictions. However, the West Bank has suffered a slower growth rate of close to 4% in the first half of 2010, while unemployment still remains at around 16%. This slowed down economy that is literally at the mercy of outside forces was attributed by the IMF to be a result of less foreign aid and a slower rate of Israeli dismantlement of militarization and occupation infrastructure in the West Bank. They claim that unless Israel removes, quote, restrictions on the West Bank and Gaza's external trade, on internal movement in the West Bank, and on access to about 60% of its territory, end quote, economic growth will decline. Unemployment will continue to increase. For anyone wondering about this report, please come see me and I can provide you a link. As I said before, the Palestinian economy is very polarized. In Gaza, in 2010 and the first half of 2011, there was GDP growth of 15 to 28% respectively. And while these statistics may seem hopeful and exciting, they're not. You have to see them in context. GDP was higher in 2005, before the siege, before the blockade, before the economic sanctions, than it was in mid-2011. That means that even with this huge growth, Gaza's economy is nowhere near where it should be if there was no siege, no blockade, and no economic sanctions. Overall unemployment is still extremely high at 28% and has yet to come down to pre-siege levels. For those under 30, unemployment is again a major cause of the Israeli policy there. They refuse to allow Gazan workers in, despite the Israeli shortage of labor, instead opting to hire foreign workers who often complain of exploitation. Youth unemployment levels in Gaza are around 50 to 40%. Out of every 10 people, 4 or 5 kids under the age of 30 are unemployed. They have nothing to do during the day. It gives them a lot of free time, not usually used for the best of things. The concessions made by Israel in 2010 after the 2010 flotilla incident were enough to bring down unemployment from 50% for 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010 to 40% by May of 2011. More recently, the situation in Egypt has eased the economic situation in Gaza, but not by much. I've just given you a lot of statistics, cold, hard facts from a reliable organization, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that claims that Israeli restrictions on the Gaza and West Bank economy are literally suffocating the economy. Israel has a lot to gain from a freer Palestine. The foreign workers whose behavior and lifestyles are contrary to the Abrahamic tradition could be reduced if more Palestinian workers were allowed back in. In the new Middle East, making peace and working with the Palestinians could buy the Israelis a lot of diplomatic leverage, something that they may need if Islamist parties succeed in finding and maintaining power through legal elections in Egypt and Syria and other Middle Eastern countries. Allowing a Palestinian economy to function would reduce the amount of unemployed youth, reducing the amount of people who could potentially be recruited to join perceived terror groups. No matter how one looks at the situation, both Israel and Palestine have a lot to gain from the demilitarization and deoccupation of Palestine. Let's hope that this coming decade is the decade where Israel and Palestine work together, where one party does not oppress the other. Thank you.